And welcome back to the new episode of the Geeks of Chairs. Me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
Didn't realize I pulled off the party post finger. Was it there?
Was that?
Yeah, because he goes like this.
Yeah.
Matt goes like this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I'm remembering early 2000s wrestling, yeah, I think that's how that works. Anyways.
Do you see the writing on the walls?
That was Jeff's old theme, right?
His theme before after they did the whole
Yeah, that's the Hardy Boys theme,
yeah.
I think. Anyways, you know, we're talking about Daredevil, right?
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll talk about wrestling.
I mean,
what can we talk about? Just like
the good old days when we watched it, and I mean, I don't know. I think wrestling's in the news again nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of gotten some of its luster back, but I mean, you know, that's cool. New generation's enjoying it, so that's pretty cool.
John Cena turned heel.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's old news now.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of when this video comes out, yeah. So. The fact that we know about that just shows you how crazy wrestling's been going
on.
But,
yeah.
Anyways.
No, we get here to talk about Daredevil. Born Again. Specifically, the recent two episodes, 3 and 4. It's just. Wow! Here I was worried about it being a little too topical. It stays that way. And honestly, it'll depend on how it keeps going. But yeah, we're going to be talking about that movie. That. Mostly because we kind of didn't have time for thinking about the new episode. Well, more we did have time, but we just didn't have time to, you know, time it right. Because I kind of wanted to talk about the new Looney Tunes movie.
I just didn't get a chance to watch it. And, you know.
It's a good movie, go watch it.
Yeah, especially considering, that, Warner Brothers decided to give it to a third-party publisher, I think, or distributor.
Yeah,
to distribute it, and it's in very few theaters as far as I saw.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of those, like, I mean, how is this movie going to make money when you barely even advertise it?
It's already made half of its money back.
Which is, you know, that's fine, that's good news, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just, fucking, what's his name? David Zaslav, man. He's an asshole.
Yeah, let's jump to the other big corporation going on right now. So, you know, Born Again. What do you think so far in these last four episodes?
Well, I mean, I think it's I'm still really liking the show. Obviously, you get that bit of courtroom drama in episode 3, right? Like, you
know. It's honestly more courtroom drama than the last 3 seasons of Daredevil. And I'm not against it.
No, I mean, not either. I mean, because I think at the same, you're building up to Matt getting back into Daredevil, which is like sort of the end of that fourth episode, basically. I mean, heck, the fact that the description of the episode for episode 4 is like, both Matt and Fisk are sort of very clearly, like, wanting to, you know,
return to that,
to their former selves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll talk a little bit of what we learned at the end of episode 4 with Wilson Fisk, but, I mean, you know, Kingpin, right? With his whole shebang, but, I mean, yeah, Matt kind of goes through it a bit. You know, he tries to get his star witness. They more or less intimidate the dude so that he can't testify. You know, so he decides to say, you know, screw it. Let's just talk about how he's the, you know, Hector Ayala is the white tiger.
Basically out of the man.
Yeah, and essentially in an effort to, like, you know, get him off of, you know, the charges, right? Because it's like, yeah, this guy, he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He saves people and stuff, you know. And, you know, it is like one of those things of, like, that's, you know, the whole drama, you know, it's a very sort of nice tone of, like, can they sort of, like, wing it, you know, basically?
It was their only hope. It was, like, a whole hell of a gamble.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't have gone with it, but I kind of get what they were coming going with.
I do also find it interesting with Kingpin and his wife, Vanessa's whole, because that's sort of been explored in these two episodes of they're going to marriage counseling, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very sort of interesting sort of back and forth of them just... Because she sort of, like, describes, like, maybe the psychological reasons why she had to have that affair while Kingpin was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. Oh, that kind of hits different now, if you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, So, no, I think this was in episode 4, actually, where the therapist talks to Vanessa privately and sort of just goes, like, do you feel safe in your marriage and stuff? And it's like, no, fist will never hurt me or whatever. Like,
it's everybody else I'm worried about.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, that plays well with how Kingpin, I feel like, has always been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would never harm Vanessa whatsoever because, you know, he is his everything, you know?
Yeah, no, there's so many times in, like, comics where, their relationship has always been kind of rocky, but there is no doubt in, like, anyone's mind that Fist doesn't love his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, not that much, like, impossible to believe. But it's very much of, like, okay, where does this go? Where does this relationship go? Kind of thing. And, honestly... Oof. Especially with both of them. It's kind of funny how the joke of, or like, I guess a meme from the people who watched the original Netflix run was, you know, whenever you knew shit was going down, whenever Fist said, when I was a boy, my father would beat me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
You know, I guess very similar to Heath Ledger's joke going, like, you want to know how I got these scars?
Yeah, it's very much in that sense, and, like, he does that here, too, but now it almost feels kind of, they kind of, like, flip it on it with Vanessa going with that, you know, when I was a child, when I was a girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, I also had an abusive father. Well, I would say absentee father.
Yeah, absentee. She just, I think that sort of fits the bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're building that sort of character dynamic and stuff, right?
Yeah, like, they both share, like, a common, like, issue with, a parental issue. And, like, sometimes it doesn't have to be just, like, my dad beat me. It's just more like, my dad was never around.
Yeah, where was, you know, I didn't have that emotional support that a parent should because he was busy doing X, Y, and Z, you know.
And sleeping with other women.
Yeah, so it kind of just, it also highlights that, like, people, like, you can have different types of, I guess, it's hard for me to say child abuse.
Trauma,
yeah, probably better. People have their own sort of traumas, and it comes from very similar places, like, yeah. My trauma is from my father. He beat me up and stuff. Like
he abused my mother.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Well, my father also had trauma. I also have trauma with my father, except he was just absent from my life. You know, I wanted a parental figure in my life, and he never was that guy, you know?
No, yeah, he was never there when I needed him. He was never there to help me go through the trials and tribulations that I was having going to go through.
Yeah, growing up, right?
It's funny how they both share this one thing, but it's not to say, like, you know, they're not both warranted in their trauma, but it's like they're both taken in such different strains, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Fisk, I would argue that for him it's control, right? Like, you can kind of argue that's his whole thing with this within the show is, like, he's trying to maintain control not only of New York City, but also his love life, his marriage. He's willing to do this. He clearly doesn't want to do it, but he's willing to do this for her. But, like, he's itching to get back to what he knows and wants.
Yeah.
You know? And this is probably me just, you know, overly analyzing things, but I tend to do. But I kind of, if this is what they're going for and this is what they're playing with, I kind of like it.
Yeah, and I do think it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, how their whole relationship sort of starts to, I hesitate to say fracture, fracture even more, but,
I mean, the one thing she asked was, don't hurt Adam.
Yeah, which, by the end of episode 4, I mean, he kept his promise. He's not hurting him.
No.
If anything, he's keeping him safe.
You could argue that. He will need Matt to lure his way out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just the... You know, I mean, the fact that they mentioned, well, they both, like, mentioned, like, I haven't seen him in a while, or, like, you know, I don't know where, they both just go, yeah, I don't know where he's been. It's like, okay, first of all, why do you know that, sis? Why would you know? Like, why would that knowledge be privy to you? Like, I don't know where he is. I mean, why would you?
Well, he found out.
We do find out where he is. You know, it's,
I can't let you go, because then you'll tell my wife.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think the other bit, if we're, you know, just to reel us back into episode 3 a bit, obviously, well, not obviously, but, you know, Matt wins the court case, Hector Ayala, White Tiger, gets to go free. And
yeah.
Not for long, though.
Not for long.
Because episode ends with him essentially putting on his White Tiger costume, going out for essentially just a, you know, a regular stroll through the city, just, you know, and then gets blasted away by some guy.
And in, like, the most poignant way possible, too.
It's not, yeah, because I was going to say, it's not very...
it's not heroic.
It is, yeah, it's not very, it's not heroic, it's not even, it's just very shot very nonchalantly. It's, he just starts walking around, patrolling, and then next thing you know, headshot. Unceremonious, no, gratifying slow motion shot of, like, oh, the tragedy. No, it's just, it's like getting hit by a car walking down the street, basically. Just comes out of nowhere. And you're just sort of,
Truck-coon, why?
You know, it's,
I'm making fun, but I'm also, like, it was so one of those moments where it's like there's no bombastic music, there's no sombering, it was just silence.
Yeah, and I think it, speaks to the groundedness of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, I was saying, like, you know, the shooter is very much wearing Punisher outfit, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, spoiler alert, Punisher's in the show, but he didn't kill
White
Tiger, because that's not his MO. But, I mean, knowing what we know about how certain cops are brandishing Punisher-like tattoos, and there's, like, I think there was a graffiti sign on, like, on a building, like, in a rundown place with, like, the Punisher logo on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of shows that, yeah, there's probably some, you know, people around.
It would feel weird for me if it was, like, you know, Frank, because it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, like I said, it's not his MO.
No.
Like, if anything, you know, he's probably cool with,
just wants to kill people.
Yeah, because... You know, at the end of the day, Punisher's only problem with Daredevil, you know, in the second season, or was just that he doesn't, you know, do the next step. He doesn't kill people.
Yeah.
Like, he's fine. He's more or less like, yeah, all right, fine, you can beat these people up, but, you know, you're not fixing the problem, basically, is what he felt like.
Was it, you hit them in the head, they get back up, but when I hit them with the head, they stay down.
Yeah, well, that's something
around those lines, and I'm just like, Jesus. Like, granted, I feel like the MCU's, because it's basically MCU, Punisher is a bit more on the sympathetic side compared to, like, his comic counterpart, who was, like, just, oof.
Yeah.
Like, no, that is not cool. That's not a cool guy. I mean, here he's more like, just full of PTSD.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm like, Jesus, this dude needs help. And he's just, like, angry at the world kind of thing. I'm now thinking about, like, in one of the recent comics, I just remembered Jason Aaron's Punisher, which is, like, almost scarily good. They had, like, Frank's first kill when he was a kid.
Right.
Wearing a Captain America mask. Oof. Burning a man alive. Just like, Jesus Christ. That's a little weird. But no, yeah. It, obviously, you know, there's a fallout to it. It's like, what does this mean? How did this happen? And, like, for Matt, that just meant going back to work.
Yeah, you know, not fully, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely see at the end of the fourth episode, you know, he's very clearly just like...
Might have to pick these up again.
Yeah, and granted, that's also because, you know, we see Frank Castle Punisher show up in the fourth episode, because, you know, Matt goes to the, pretty much the scene of the crime, he finds the bullet casing, it has the Punisher logo on it, and he's just like, I gotta talk to Frank. Finds Frank. You know? And he just wants to know, did he do it? Like, no. Why would it be me?
Such a great scene, too.
Yeah, because, you know, it basically devolves into more or less Frank questioning Matt on, like, why you stopped being Daredevil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, essentially confronting him about the death of Foggy.
Because he hasn't been talking about it at all.
Yeah, he hasn't really much, besides the initial first episode with the trial of with Bullseye and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, it's, again, it's a very dramatic scene, like,
mm-hmm.
Charlie Cox, like, definitely brought his A-game, because there's just,
mm-hmm.
it was so good.
It was so
both
good.
Both him and John Berthold.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's funny, because recently, John Berthold came out about, like, yeah, they asked me to come back, but the way they were writing it, I was like, I can't do this. This doesn't feel right to the character.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been, like, a lot of talking points, because, like, you know, the show was rewritten. And the question is, like, what was it originally? And a lot of people are wondering, like, what that was, because I know for, like, Vincent D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox, it's like, no, we need to get these right. This isn't where we, like, this doesn't feel right for these characters that we've been working with. And not to say, like, the stuff they weren't doing already before wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stuff from Echo or the stuff from, like, She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Which is, they're their own little things, but they kind of make a point to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's I think he really wanted him to be a very jaded guy
mm-hmm.
of, you know... I don't know. That's how I feel like that might have been interpreted.
Maybe.
Just from how I see how he looks and dresses. Like, granted, you know, if the problem was at the writing stage, you know, those problems get fixed pretty early on, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed, I guess, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, because I have seen those comments from the actors, right? And, yeah, because we talked about it in the last episode where, like, it was, like, Foggy, the actors for Foggy and, Karen, like, you know, felt a bit, you know, they do, you know, you kill it off a certain character and it doesn't feel right or whatever, and it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's kind of crazy. But yeah, because, I mean, it is going to be interesting to see how much of Punisher they use, because obviously, you know, they do have that sort of, like, set up with the cops, right?
Yeah, it's like, because I kind of wanted to question, why isn't Punisher out doing stuff? But maybe it's because I really doubt it is, but something may have to do with how these police are brandishing his colors. Or his logo, specifically, yeah.
It's a funny way of putting it. It's like, what colors does Frank have besides black and white? Like, they're just a bunch of, like, it's like the Bloods and the Crips and something like that.
Yeah, like, it's
like
a bunch
of gang colors. Like,
yeah.
Hey, are you part of the Punisher gang?
It'd be really weird.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, at the same time, I could see what you're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, maybe he feels that, like, because, I mean, he acknowledges them in that
mm-hmm.
scene of, like, oh, just a bunch of weird fanboys or whatever, right? So it just, he kind of knows that they're out there. He's just sort of like...
He don't care.
Yeah, it's like, they're a bunch of weirdos. What's that got to do with me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, I definitely do believe...
Mm-hmm.
Whatchamacallit? That we probably will have him confronting at least one of those sort of cops.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Matt confronting one, and it's clearly obvious that, I mean, I might be misremembering, but how was that conversation going with him, with that one cop?
Well, it was more of,
because
he was still trying to investigate, who killed the
Tiger.
White Tiger,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, because he felt like, oh, it was probably one of the cops, and obviously he was the cop that was at the train station. He was one,
mm-hmm.
you know, standing on trial. He also fought Matt at the apartment, because he even brings up, like, that's just weird, a blind lawyer could fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that whole conversation was just him trying to read him out, because, you know, obviously the thing that Daredevil, with his hearing, he can also hear heartbeats, he knows when people are lying, and I'm pretty
mm-hmm.
sure that was just him trying to suss out, like, are you lying to me? Are you?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, obviously he didn't do it, but whether or not he was fully a part of it, you know, remains to be seen. But also he sort of like, threatens him, like, you know, you could be in a lot of trouble for all the shit you've been pulling. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't think this guy assumes Matt is the Daredevil or anything. But, I mean, you know.
No, I don't think. Well, no one knows Daredevil's blind.
Yeah, that's probably true, right? It's just like, Matt Murdock, the blind lawyer? I mean, he kicks a lot of ass. He kicked my ass. But no way is he Daredevil. That's too much ass kicking for me. That guy cut way too much ass for a blind guy.
He's probably one of those, like, rare karate guys who's blind.
It's like those old, you know, Jackie Chan movies.
Holy
yeah.
No, but it's very much like a lot of questions are slowly being answered. We're like, we're left kind of high and dry. It's almost kind of like a mystery of like what's going on. We're really just, how far is Fisk's hands and everything?
Well, it's very clear that the gang, like the criminal underworld, is kind of just messing with him, not in like intentionally,
yeah.
But it's like, it's very clear that what he wants to do,
mm-hmm.
his pure-hearted intentions, basically, of like, oh, we need to renovate this place, and it's like, yeah, but the gang activity here is too high, we can't be, you know, it's like all this,
yeah.
like, red tape or whatever, it's like one of the things of like, well, I could get them to stop, but that means I have to, you know, get my hands dirty,
mm-hmm.
which I don't want to do, but it feels like ultimately that's what he will have to do.
Yeah.
Right, because, I mean, freaking Vanessa essentially has those guys, like, sort of, like, cool down after
yeah.
paying them off or whatever. And it's like, you can't be doing that. Because, you know, I gotta do this right. I gotta do this clean. But at the same time, you know, he's a guy that's gotten everything through force. And now he's basically being forced down by all the red tape of, like, legal government. It's like, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of commentary about the system in this show. When you think about it, really wonders where this is going to go to.
Yeah. I mean, there was the, besides the whole, you know, White Tiger case, Matt has a, sort of defense thing for this guy who, I guess he's homeless,
mm-hmm.
who just stole some food, you know, and he's been, like, he doesn't want to be in jail, tries to get probation, and Matt can only get him, like, maybe 10 days, which is, you know, for a guy that's a repeated convict or whatever, you know, it seems like a pretty good deal, but then, you know, he sort of goes on sort of a tirade of the system, right? Of like, man, you know, like, last time I was in here, you know, I lost my benefits, like my food stamps, that's why I have to be, you know, homeless and, you know, eating like shit out of the garbage or whatever, you know, now, like, I can't do this sort of thing, like, it's like, you know, ending with like a whole, like, you know, they're spending more money on putting
yeah, that was the poignant thing from everyone who watched this episode.
Yeah, like, you're spending more money on keeping me here in prison when you could just, you know, spend less on just trying to feed me, which is like, and, you know, Matt, very, he's like,
it's the
yeah.
Catholic.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's, at the one, it's part, it's like, ultimately, like, Matt, as much as he wants to use the system of the law to work. Sometimes it just does not
no,
roll
the
that
the
way for some
is,
people.
The
yeah.
system is either corrupt or it just doesn't play well with isn't as fair as it wants it to be,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, very poignant to, like, Matt's, like, side of the law, while with, like, Fisk, it's more like, I can't do what I want, what I need to, what I want, because there's so much BS to go around.
Yeah. Speaking of Fisk, though, his little, his assistant or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I forget his name, but he's the son of, the guy from, Sopranos.
Yeah, like, he gets into a little bit of a controversy. He accidentally leaks, like, some cool, not cool, but...
Yeah.
It's some sort of new project for recycling and stuff, and it's not great for the union,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, something like that. He leaks it to the BB girl,
mm-hmm.
right? BB Ulrich. Who, I mean, she keeps getting, like, her little, vignettes.
Yeah.
And she even gets an interview with Fisk, at the end of episode 3, where he, you know, has that sort of thing, of, like, these vigilantes, you know, they can't be trusted, you know, that sort of thing. He's like, but Hector Ayala, he was not guilty, you know, he's jury, you know, it's like, juries get it wrong all the time, and it's like, oh.
Whoa,
I feel like that might be a turning point for her character. It's like, initially, she's like, yeah, you know, I want to get your message out to the people, you know, and it's like, oh.
Funny thing is, again, the funny thing is, this is the man that killed Ben, her uncle.
Boy, oh boy, if she... I feel like we might build up to that one day,
mm-hmm.
in this show. I'm like, you killed my uncle, this son, this fucking bastard. You know?
You fat son... Well, he's not fat in this one, but you fat son of a bitch.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that, like, just... You know, Bane is, like, his assistant, you know, spends time partying with her and just drunkenly talks about, oh, yeah, we're gonna do this thing or whatever. And it's like, bro, maybe you shouldn't hang out with some chick whose whole vibe is just doing her own
investigative journalism.
Investigative journalism on, like, TikTok or whatever. You
Fuck
know?
That idea.
Yeah, this, like, yes, initially, you know, it's like, you know, great for your political self to do that sort of thing, but then it kind of, you know, if they're a good journalist,
yeah,
you know, they're gonna say, hey, listen, it's like, they gotta tell you,
yeah,
it is a little bit of a mistake. And he has a moment with Fisk, and then, you know, it's like, you know, I like your honesty, kid, or whatever, you know, like, I respect that you took responsibility for yourself, but do it again, and I'll, you know, you did, well, not, you know, you didn't threaten,
I mean,
him his life, or whatever, but it's, like,
very
clear.
He could have. Yeah.
But it's, like, I feel like this kid's gonna die one day. Like, I don't know, man.
He's gonna be eating in a diner with, Don't Stop Me Believing playing in the background.
And then it just cuts to black.
Exactly. He went out just like his dad. Well, not really like his dad, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's not much to say. It's like, the show is still pretty good. I think... Oh, yeah, they tease Muse at the end.
Well, yeah, he gets a bit of it, bit of an intro at start of episode 4, and then at the end, just draining some guy's blood.
Muse is kind of like, basically a serial killer.
Ah, okay, alright.
He showed up in one of the comics, I don't recall which one, but he's not that far off from a recent edition. Like, I would say, like, mid-2000s to early 2010s. I want to say it's when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm wondering how the rest of that stuff's going to be played out. Though, but, like, I feel like... There's a lot of stuff going on, and now my main worry is, how are you going to be able to juggle it? Because you got the Fisk, Daredevil, King, Punisher, Muse, the Hector Yala thing.
I guess you sort of tie that. Sorry, not. Although, I think I asked this earlier when we were talking about it a little bit before recording, of like, you have the niece show up.
Yeah.
I know that there's a female White Tiger in the comics, I think, right?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, so.
I forget her name, but I wouldn't surprise me, because I could have sworn it was supposed to be his daughter. But niece, daughter, either way, familial tie. Family tie.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is that, you know, you give Matt both the suit and the amulet back after the whole autopsy.
Yeah.
So, in my brain, you know, it's just sort of like, I mean, I guess that's planting the seed for the next White Tiger. I don't know. That was just something I was like...
Oh, yeah, because, like, I remember the power comes from the jewel.
Yeah, it comes with a Jew.
Yeah, so that.
Unfortunately, it does not give him spider senses, because he would have seen that bullet coming.
It doesn't make him bulletproof.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. He's still human.
He's only human, after all.
Yeah. Well, as much as I can say about this episode, it's been pretty solid. You got anything to say?
No, besides the fact that, like, again, I'm very interested in where things go. Obviously, the show does very well in hitting you with the emotional gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every other odd episode. I just can't... I'm honestly honest, I am hoping that we get to see Matt put the suit back on, go to work,
mm-hmm.
figure out what the hell's going on in this city. Because, quite frankly, you know, that'll be interesting. Meanwhile, Kingpin just has a guy in a freaking cell underneath his house, I'm guessing, or some sort of warehouse.
It's something.
He just eats his dinner while this guy's like, just let me out, please. I won't touch your wife again. It's like,
it was just one time.
It's like, listen, Vanessa said to keep you safe, not to harm you. And that's what I'm doing, technically. It's what I'm doing, technically. Just don't let her find out. Well, that's why I can't let you leave, actually. I can't let her find out. Overall, you know, I'm excited. This is like, what, 8 episodes? 9 episodes?
9 episodes, so we're like half.
We are, yeah, about the halfway point.
Yeah.
So it is going to be interesting to see where it all goes. And we do know there's a second season coming out.
Yeah.
So that's all good. But yeah, I think that's all we have to say, right?
Yeah, that's all. I don't know why. I was thinking about the math. I'm like, wait, no. It all fits. Anyway, if you enjoyed what you heard, show follows on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram, where you find a link to all podcasts that are officially part of, like, our podcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And we have a YouTube for your audience, not to like to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and a Patreon for any more support. It's me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
Yeah, Daredevil's been solid. Go check it out. Anyways, yeah, have a good one. Peace.